May the Lord's name be glorified. Good to see some new faces after some time. And also happy to see that this is the last study on this series. So I must say thank you very much for inviting me again. I don't know the first time when I came here, maybe some 12 or 15 years, I don't remember. I started my studies with 1 John. I remember that. Then continued with, in between I took on 1 Corinthians and Book of Joshua. And then I don't know, even spiritual warfare, Moses, many topics I could take. And I'm happy that you gave me one more opportunity to study God's word. And I must say, I don't take any name. Thank you very much for the opportunity you give, that I also get an opportunity to study and share God's word with you. Now, actually, there are some more prayers of Paul, definitely. You can see some more prayers in the book of Timothy and also in the book of Philemon. And then also we can study Paul's own prayer request. He says that you pray for me. That also we can consider, because in these prayers we realize the expectation of Apostle Paul. Paul not only exhorts or encourages or teaches for his people, he also is praying that God would do these things for them. And that gives us the idea that those things are necessary for us also. And whatever things Paul prayed for, we can pray for ourselves and we can pray for others also. Now today we shall go to 2 Thessalonians 2:16, 17, chapter 3 verse 5 and also 16. From there we have some prayer points. See 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 16, 17, we read there. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Chapter 3 verse 5, now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. And verse 16 and 17, chapter 3, 16, 17. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always, in every way. The Lord be with you all. Okay, 16 enough. Now you may say there is no word on prayer. It is true, there is no particular word prayer there. But if you want to see the word of prayer, it's there in another translation. Contemporary English translation, I think. CEV. In that translation, all these verses begins with, we pray. We pray. Very specifically, we read there. Interesting to notice, then all these chapters, in chapter 1, after giving lot of instruction, he said, we pray for you, verse 11. And again in chapter 2, again he gives lot of instructions, and then he say in 13, we give thanks to God and we pray for you. And again in chapter 3, giving instructions to the believers in Thessalonica and saying, we pray for you. So Paul knew that instruction is not enough. He needs to pray for his people. Now from these passages, we can see some 5 different prayer topics. The first one is very clear, verse 17, chapter 2 verse 17, God may comfort your hearts. Their comfort is the first main prayer point of Apostle Paul. Now in the last study, I think we referred to this fact that Thessalonian believers, they faced persecution. They were going through sufferings. So Paul had a burden, Paul had a concern for their encouragement and comfort. Now you see some verses are there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11, you can notice Paul says, reminds them, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does. Paul used to encourage them, comfort them, as a father would do with the children. In 1 Thessalonians 3:2, we read there, Paul, because he had a concern for their encouragement, he sends Timothy to go to Thessalonica and comfort, encourage the believers in Thessalonica. In chapter 4:18, he says, after giving a lot of explanation about the resurrection, he says that, therefore comfort one another with these words. Same thing we see in chapter 5 also, verse 11 and 14, you should comfort one another. Now in chapter 2:17, he says, I am praying for you that God may comfort you. So there are lessons for us, many lessons here regarding comfort. Apostle Paul, when he is encouraging them by himself and sending somebody else and also writing to them and even by his prayers, that shows many lessons for us, some practical lessons. Number one, the first one is very, very clear, not only from here, some other passages also. Paul wants to teach us that all of us are in need of encouragement. See, you need to see another verse also. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You see in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, Paul himself says that, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. See, how many times the word comfort is there? He says that blessed be the God, God of all comfort. Paul found comfort in God. And then he says that, and by that comfort, we are able to comfort the others. So Paul tasted the comfort. That means, that shows that, now even Paul was in need of comfort, encouragement, from 2 Corinthians. And Paul knew the value of encouraging one another. Paul knew the heart of God's people. Paul knew that everybody is searching for a word of encouragement, a word of comfort, including himself. He says, I found comfort in God in all our sufferings. Now we are able to comfort the others. And that gives us the lesson that all of us are in need of comfort and encouragement. Many a times we think somebody should come to me and encourage me. But I forget that many others are searching for a word of encouragement. Brothers and sisters, we need to remember very well. I don't know about you, but generally speaking, we, among us, we are not very, very much well known for this reality that we are able to encourage one another. We easily put down the other. We easily question the other. We easily criticize the other. We easily condemn the other. But we find it very hard to encourage. A word of encouragement may not come easily. A word of condemnation will come easily. Let us learn this lesson. Everybody is suffering. There is tears in every eyes. Everybody is looking for a word of comfort. Paul knew the value of comforting one another. Let us realize that everybody is searching for a word of comfort, a word of encouragement, a word of sympathy, a touch, a word, a look, whereby we shall comfort the other. So that is the first lesson we need to remember. And the second lesson that we can learn from here in connection with comforting or comfort is, you see in verse 16, Paul says, what made Paul to pray that God may comfort them? In 16 he says, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts. Who will comfort you? On what basis Paul is praying, oh God, I pray, comfort the believers in Thessalonica?
Because our God has already loved us. He has already given us eternal comfort and encouragement, consolation and good hope. So there we have the second lesson. The second lesson is God's provision in the past should encourage us. Now, Paul is very clear, very much sure that God has already encouraged or comforted every child of God. Now, what does it mean? What is the idea? There we have so many lessons actually. We can notice many lessons along with that. Now, notice carefully, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, God the Father, God the Son working together. That's one lesson you need to remember. Both are equal. Okay. And another thing, who has loved us and given us. God loves and God gives. We know that. John's Gospel 3:16. When God loves, God gives. True giving is based on love. True love is giving love. Okay. And then he also says that, given us everlasting consolation and good hope. What is this everlasting consolation? Now I think this everlasting consolation, of course it is eternal. That speaks about eternal and it will never change. This encouragement or consolation, comfort that God gave to the people, I believe that has a reference to the time of their conversion. Salvation experience. The moment one comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, especially we know that a sinner comes to the Lord with much burden, with much pain, with much sorrow. An awakened sinner coming to the Lord with pain and sorrow, and God forgives him, cleanses him, makes him his son, comforts him, giving him everlasting consolation and good hope. Good hope means this forgiveness, this salvation is forever and ever. And thus, there Paul reminds that already we are recipients of God's comfort, consolation and good hope. Good hope, mother love, means, good hope means hope based on good, strong, secure foundation. No change. Assured hope. Hope of the resurrection. Hope of the time. Hope of the resurrection based on the resurrection of Christ. So, Apostle Paul wants to say, I pray for you, Corinthian believers, because we are already sure that God has already comforted us. Then, how much more he would comfort us in our day-to-day practical life as we face trouble. Now, remember in Romans 5:10, there is a similar verse. Now, when we read that, when we know that verse, you know, we will get the idea. The idea will be more clear. There we see in Romans 5:10, Paul says, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. That's the idea there. When we were enemies, God has reconciled us. And he has, and through his son, much more, being reconciled, God will save us. God will save us. So that is the idea there. God has already forgiven us, given us good hope, and given us an eternal comfort, encouragement, consolation. Then how much more? So God's past dealings encourages Paul to pray, and even in our life also, God's provision in the past should encourage us to pray for the present need. God gave, blessed us in the past, and God will continue to bless us in the present needs also. Okay, we all need comfort, and God has already provided consolation and comfort. Now, the third thing we can learn from here is, because Apostle Paul is praying to God, Paul's prayer to God for comfort in the life of Thessalonian believers, telling us that, what is that? God, see, notice that word again, that verse again. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us, given us everlasting consolation, comfort your hearts. Our God is interested in comforting us. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, I refer to that verse. We read there, God is a God of, you see, Paul says, God of all comfort. Our God is a God of all comfort. Our God is very much interested in comforting us, encouraging us. Now you know that. What is the Greek word for comfort, The word, Greek word for comfort, consolation or comfort is, I'm sure you know it. Yeah, it's not there. Paraklesis. Forget about that. Now that same word is used for the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus, the other comforter. And same word is used for, similar word is used for the Lord Jesus Christ in 1 John chapter 2. Our helper, he's our helper, our advocate. Now paraklesis means our helper, comforter. The Greek idea is someone called alongside to stand, whisper in the ears to strengthen, to guide. So a paraklesis means, the idea is, somebody called along as an advocate, standing along with me to whisper into my ears words of encouragement, words of comfort or suggestion, guidance or whatever it is, to guide, to help and to strengthen. Now the similar word or same word is used for the Holy Spirit. That means the Holy Spirit is engaged in comforting, encouraging the believers. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the helper. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 3, God of all comfort, our God is in the business of comforting the people of God. Now we need to remember, maybe just see, Isaiah chapter 40. In Isaiah chapter 40, up to 39, we see God Isaiah pronouncing judgment upon the people of Judah. In chapter 40, the beginning, we read there, comfort, yes, comfort my people, says our God. So what does it mean? Now that teaches us, even when God was chastening his people, people of Judah, because of their sins, God was punishing them, chastening them. And now God says, comfort my people. Verse 2, speak to Jerusalem. Speak comfort to Jerusalem. Cry out to her. Her warfare is ended. Her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. See, God was very careful when he was chastening the people of God. That should not be too much. At the right time, he says, your suffering will be over. Chastening will be over. Now words of comfort. Now what I want to say is, our God, our second lesson, our third lesson is, our God is a God of comfort. Our God is a comforter. Triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, interested in comforting, encouraging the people of God. Now that should encourage us also. That should be an encouragement and an example to us. If God, Triune God is engaged in comforting the people of God, how much more we also need to be. We also need to give priority to encourage the people of God through our ministry, through our activities. Now the fourth lesson we can learn from here is, because Apostle Paul's prayer reminds us or teaches us, he knows very well Thessalonian believers are going through persecution, opposition. We have seen that he wrote a letter to them, and he spoke to them, and he sends Timothy to them to encourage them. And even after doing everything, he is praying. So there the lesson, another lesson is, he knew very well, whether it is believers at Thessalonica or even he himself. We need a fresh touch of comfort, encouragement from God. Now we have seen already, you should not forget that in verse 16, Paul reminded them, God has given us everlasting consolation. Did you read that? You remember that? Now there should be a question, you know. Paul, you say, God has given everlasting comfort. Then what is the need of another prayer that God may comfort you? You have any answer? That is the answer here. There is a lesson there. Even when Paul knew that God has given everlasting consolation and good hope, still he is praying, God may comfort you. What is the idea there? Now that is the idea that Paul knew very well. The everlasting comfort and good hope has to do with the, I think we can say like this, the positional aspect. The moment we came to the Lord, as I told you in the beginning, God has forgiven us and saved us from the eternal condemnation and eternal everlasting comfort. No more punishment. We belong to the Lord. We are of Him. And good hope. And that's a positional truth. That truth will never change. That is eternal, unchanging, unshakable. Yet, Apostle Paul knew that day by day in our practical experiential life or practically experientially, we need to experience, enjoy divine comfort on a practical level in a day-to-day Christian life. That is the fourth point. Our heart needs a constant application of that truth. Did you understand that? Now in 1 Thessalonians 4:18, you remember we read there, Apostle Paul says, therefore comfort one another with these words. The Spirit of God applying the words of God, word of God to our heart day after day because of various reasons. We are disturbed. Our peace of mind may go. We may be troubled because of many various reasons. So Paul knew that day after day, continuously on a constant basis, we need a divine comfort, a touch from the Spirit of God, comforting and encouraging our heart. Now that happens by the work of the Holy Spirit, using the Word of God, and there, we all have a lesson, responsibility, as Paul says, that we got comfort and we give comfort to the others. Now, is it clear to you? I hope it's clear. I have to go very fast. Time is running very fast. The fourth one, we need a constant, continuous application of this truth by the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, the fifth one, okay? Fifth lesson is, Paul's prayer also teaches us God alone can comfort and touch the heart of a person. God alone can do it. Now as I told you, even though Paul wrote letter, sent Timothy and did all the things and finally he's praying because he knew that more than what he says, more than what anybody can tell, it is the work of the Spirit of God in the innermost part of our being, touching our heart, touching our conscience, encouraging us. That is another lesson we need to remember. Our words are limited. So that means, in other words, don't expect any man to comfort us. God is the comforter. And God alone can help us. And God alone will be able to comfort our heart, one another. So the first prayer point is Paul's prayer for Thessalonians that God may comfort them. And based on that point, we have seen five things. We all need comfort. And God's past provision should encourage us to pray further. And God wants to comfort and encourage His people. And our heart needs a constant touch from God, comforting us. And God alone can do it. No man can do it. Now the second prayer point is, Paul says in the same verse in chapter 2 verse 17, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Their stability. God may establish them. Now it's very clear, this stability is the result of three things again. I would like to point out, three things are there. The stability is the result of comfort. In our word, Hindi also comes in between, because yesterday night I spoke in Hindi. In between, no, language is a problem, speaking different language within 24 hours. So the first thing here we have learned is, when there is comfort, consolation, the result is stability. Yeah, thank you. Psalmist says in Psalm 57, it's not there. Psalm 57:7, Psalmist says, my heart is steadfast. O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. Psalm 57:7. You see, Paul knew very well, when the heart is comforted, the result is that heart is stable, firm, established. In other words, when a heart is going through trouble, struggling, or facing problem, not comforted, disturbed the heart, cannot be a strong, stable heart. When there is worry and tension, there cannot be stability. But when there is comfort, encouragement, Paul knew that, then the heart will be stable. So Psalmist says, I sing and I praise, and I am steadfast. My heart is steadfast. And the second thing here itself, Apostle Paul says, you may be stable in, look into your Bible and tell me, their stability is for what? You should be stable or established in every good word and good work. Now, good word speaks of doctrine, can be. There are some others, they say it speaks of their testimony. Both can be true. Whatever they say or whatever they hold as doctrine. I think in chapter 2 verse 2, you see in chapter 2 verse 2, Paul writes there, not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, and as he from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Verse 15, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you are taught, whether by word or epistle. I think that those two verses reminding us or giving us an idea that Paul has in mind is the doctrine, the teaching. Thessalonian believers had problem because of the opposition and persecution. And also they had problem because of false teaching, wrong teaching that we see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4:13. They had confusion regarding resurrection. So the idea is you should be stable in your teaching, in your doctrine, in your word. You should be stable in what you teach, what you hold, and you should be strong. And also you should be stable in the practice, in their activities, they should be stable. You see, in Luke's Gospel 24:19, Luke's Gospel 24:19, those two brethren on the road to Emmaus, they are telling the Lord Jesus himself about the Lord Jesus Christ. They say that in chapter 24, verse 19, we read there, Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, mighty in deed and
word.
So the Lord Jesus was an example. Same similar thing Luke writes in Luke's Gospel 1:1 also. Sorry, Acts 1:1 also. No need to read that. The Lord Jesus Christ, his words were mighty, his deeds were mighty. He spoke the right thing and he did the right thing. His testimony, his words or his teaching or his activities were stable and right. It should go in its balance. So Paul's second point or second prayer matter for them is their stability. They should be stable, they should be strong, they should be established in their spiritual life. So two things Paul is praying for the Thessalonian believers according to chapter 2 verse 17. Comfort and stability. Now another reference is in chapter 3 verse 5. Another prayer of Apostle Paul, another prayer matter. Just see. What is that? Look into your Bible and tell me. You also work in your mind. Yes, look into your Bible and tell me. It's not there. What is the third point? Third topic for Paul's prayer? For Thessalonians? Okay, one thing. Yeah, you read the whole passage, the sentence. In a summarized form. Very clear? Direction, that's all. Direction. Direction. God may direct your hearts. May the Lord direct your hearts. Direction. Now similar thing, we read earlier also in, I think in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3:11, there also, he prayed, used similar word there. 1 Thessalonians 3:11, may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. Now here it different. Difference is there. That we may come to you. In order to come there, God may remove all the hindrances. And the path may be straight for us. So here, the idea in a different manner, he says, I pray, O Thessalonian believers, God may direct your hearts. God may direct your hearts. Now what is the idea? Direct already I told you. The meaning is God may make the path straight. God may open the road clear for you. Keep the road clear for you. Remove all the hindrances. So for your heart, God may direct your heart. God may remove all the hindrances and keep a right path for your heart. I'll come back to that passage. Heart is referring to? Certain times heart refers to the center of our emotion, our person. And here it may refer to the whole person because we know that heart is the center, heart controls the person. See, in Proverbs 4:23, you know it, but still you can see in Proverbs 4:23, Solomon says about the heart of man. We read there, keep your heart with all diligence. Out of it springs the issues of, from the heart springs the issues of, everything comes out of the heart. You know that. Just one more verse. In 23:7, Proverbs, Niti Vachan. Proverbs 23:7. Thank you very much. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. Luke's Gospel 6:5 also. The Lord Jesus says, no need to read, out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So, there are so many things to remember here. This prayer of Paul in 1 Thessalonians 3:5, God may direct your hearts, teaching us so many lessons. I'll go very fast. It's true. Number one, heart controls the whole person. Everybody knows it. Whatever is there in the heart, it comes out. Our practical life, our activities are based on our mind, our heart. That's very clear. You know it very well. And secondly, now we have no time to go to the references. I just refer to it. Jeremiah 17 verse 9. You know that verse, I'm sure. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The heart of man controls the man, and that heart, the second point is, has a natural inclination to evil. Don't forget that. Man's heart of man has a natural bend, a natural interest to the evil things. In Genesis 8:21, the Lord said, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. Then he says, the imaginations of man's heart is evil from his youth. Imagination. This is the condition of natural mind or natural heart of an unbeliever. But we know that the third lesson is, at conversion we get a new heart. We see in the book of Ezekiel, Jeremiah and so on, the Lord promised that I am going to give a new heart. 2 Corinthians 5:17, all who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, they are a new creation, so we have a new heart. So at conversion, because we are born again Christians, we have a new heart. So these three things, you know that. Heart controls the mind of a man, the whole person, and heart of man has a natural inclination to evil or bent to evil, and God has changed the heart of a Christian. We have a new heart. That much we know very well. It's a blessed privilege that as a child of God, we have a new heart, so our heart's desire is different and our heart is new. Now the fourth lesson, that is the lesson that we need to remember. The reason why Paul is praying for believers in Thessalonica is, even though their heart is new, even though their heart is a converted heart, a heart that is given afresh or renewed by God, Paul knew very well. What is that? There is a possibility that even the heart of a believer may be drifted away if not careful. Now I have no time to discuss those things I cannot elaborate it, but the Bible teaches, that is the reason why Paul is praying there, God may direct your heart to the love of God. Because if God doesn't do that, your heart may slowly go away. Now we all know that. You are sitting here, I don't know where your heart is even now. Its possibility is there. Natural. We all face it. We all experience it. So Paul says that I pray that God may keep your heart and God may direct your heart. And the fifth lesson, along with that, God alone can do that. I have already told you that working with our heart, God alone can work with our heart. No man can work in the heart of another person. Even I cannot change my own heart. Then how can I change your heart? Whatever I say, I preach or say, it will have no effect on anybody's heart. God will have to work. God will have to work. No man can control his heart. No one can control the other heart. But God alone can do. Paul knew that. That's why Paul is praying.
that God may direct your hearts to God's love. And one more thing, the last lesson based on Paul's prayer for direction for the heart is, what is that? Our heart must be gripped by the divine quality. See, two things are mentioned there. Two things means the love of God and the patience of Christ. Notice carefully again. Look into the Bible. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. God may control your heart. God may remove all the hindrance from that path and your heart may go to the love of God. Now here the question is, what does it mean, God's love for me or my love for God? What does it mean? God may help me that I may love God, or God may help me that I may enjoy His love. What is the idea? Both could be there. I think the first one should be, God may help me, my heart, that I may go, my heart may go to the love of God, experience and enjoy and understand and be gripped by the love of God, that I may be able to love God and one another with the same love. That's what we see in 1 John chapter 4 verse 11. 1 John chapter 4 verse 11. John says, you know, 1 John chapter 4 verse 11, we read there, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. That means a Christian, the moment we really understand, the moment we are really conscious of the greatness of God's love, that touches our heart, that changes our heart. When the love of God is filled in our heart, we are able to love the others and even God with the same love. So first of all, we need that our heart may be filled and gripped by the love of God, and also we need to be gripped by, close the Bible. Now I'm not going to finish it till I finish my topic. The patience of Christ. The patience of Christ. So I just get a common word there. Our heart must be gripped by the divine qualities. Paul referred to only two things. The love of God and the patience of Christ. See, people in Thessalonica, they were going through problems. They were suffering, they were suffering Christians. They were facing opposition and persecution. And they need to be gripped by the love of God so that they may suffer quietly, patiently. Patience of Christ. Now in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 3, writer says there, see in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 3, he says that, consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You will not be weary. You will not be discouraged when you think about, consider, focus on the sufferings of Christ. He was patient. He quietly suffered. Peter says in 1 Peter 2:21, to this you are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. So Paul knew that Thessalonian believers' heart must be gripped, filled by the realization that the patience of Christ and the love of God, that will strengthen their heart and that will strengthen them to face persecution. So prayer for direction. So prayer for comfort, prayer for stability, prayer for direction. Direction to their heart, that God may take them
to the love of God, that the heart may be filled with the love of God and may realize the patience of Christ. Now very quickly, the fourth and fifth one is the peace of, where do we see that? Verse 16. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace. I don't need to explain these things, very clear. It's there. Peace in the life of a Christian is result of salvation, Romans 5:1. We have peace with God, we have peace with man, one another, peace within ourselves. But the prayer tells us that our peace can be. And that is the reason why Paul is praying, you know. Thessalonian believers, they had peace of God because they are God's people. Yet he knew that they need peace in a very special manner because it can be disturbed because of various reasons. And you notice that verse very clearly. Now may the Lord, verse 16. Now may the Lord of peace, our God is God of peace. He is the Prince of peace. He has full of peace. He is our peace. We see in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. The more we stay close to him, we shall experience his peace. And writer Paul says, peace always in every way. Peace always in every way. Our God gives us peace all the ways, everywhere, all the time. Unbroken peace, not affected by circumstances, and peace in every place. And finally, Paul's prayer for the believers is number 5, the presence of the Lord. In the end, it is written that the Lord be with you all. The Lord be with you all. Now it's a wonderful privilege that the Lord Jesus says in Matthew's Gospel 18 verse 20, I am in the midst, you know. And 28:20, lo, I am with you always. What a wonderful, blessed privilege it is that God's people can experience the presence of God always. That gives us more peace. So finally, we have seen 5 major prayer points in these 3 passages. Prayer for comfort, prayer for stability, prayer for direction, prayer for peace, and prayer for the presence of the Lord. I am sure it's very practical, very necessary prayer. And let us have this prayer for ourselves and others, remembering that every believer is in need of comfort, encouragement, going through some kind of trouble, struggle. And when there is comfort, then they will be stable. And we need direction. Every heart is needed direction. If not careful, heart will go away, slip away. And we need the peace and the presence of God. And let us praise God that all these things are ours, freely by grace, for everybody. Now the Lord bless these words to our hearts.